This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, WGCU's John Davis sits down with Nikki Fried. She's the Democratic candidate for Florida Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Also later this hour, the PBS NewsHour hosted special coverage from Florida, looking into topics like President Trump's strategy in our state and how voters are weighing environmental issues like red tide and blue-green algae blooms. We're going to listen in on several of those segments. But first, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum will be in Southwest Florida today for campaign stops in Punta Gorda at 4 p.m. and Fort Myers at 5 o'clock. The Democratic candidate for Florida governor is on a 30-county bus tour as his campaign pushes toward the general election next Tuesday. We had a chance to speak with Mayor Gillum on Saturday afternoon. Let's hear that conversation now. You've spent the days since the last debate on the road on your bus tour. I want to know what you're seeing. Anything different in the mood or anything since pre-debate?
Oh, my gosh. The energy is incredible out here. We have done, I think, 5 rallies today. We did 4 rallies yesterday. Incredible turnout, incredible energy. I understand why the President Trump is afraid of a tsunami in Florida. A blue tsunami in Florida. I honestly believe that we are going to surprise a lot of people come November 6th with the number of people who will have turned out to participate in this election and the kind of candidates that are going to prevail. I'm extremely excited about the race and very excited about the next several days of the bus tour.
It's interesting that you mentioned President Donald Trump. You know, he's going to be coming down here to Southwest Florida on Wednesday. And I understand you're also planning on making a stop down here in Charlotte County and Lee County on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, we're coming. Listen, we said we are going to campaign everywhere. There is no part of this state that is off limits to our campaign. We've already campaigned in Putnam County, in Bay County, in Jackson County. We went down to Flagler County. We were in Sarasota, Manatee County earlier today. Did rallies in the Newton area. There's no part of the state that's off limits. I'm so sick of Democrats running for governor and treating it as if it's the Electoral College. You don't win one county and lose another. Win one and lose another. You win by winning one more vote. And we believe that that one more vote may come from anywhere throughout the length and the breadth of this state. And so we're prepared to go there, prepared to share our vision, and prepared to compete for every single vote that we can get. So, you know, good luck to the president. The president is going to areas that he believes are reliably Republican. And while they do that, we're going to go to areas that are reliably Floridian. And based off of that, we believe we're going to win.
So, you know, I've talked to people on both sides of the political spectrum, and there are obviously, as you may have alluded to there, a lot of people on the right in our area. So I wanted to have you address a couple of things that come up every time you talk with somebody that is on the right. One of the biggest things that comes up is a tax plan. There are people who were saying that you want to raise taxes by 40% on corporations. Can you clarify some of those things for us?
Yes, indeed. So let me first say I have no plan and no interest in instituting a state income tax. It's one of the great, you know, selling points of the state of Florida. My opponent and their campaign has put out text messages suggesting that I do. I don't. Under my plan, what we have said is that we're going to increase the corporate tax rate by 2.5%, and we're doing it in order to pay teachers a higher wage. Right now in the state of Florida, teachers are paid the 45th lowest average salary out of all 50 states. In the state of Florida, only 3% of companies pay the corporate tax rate, 3%. 97% of businesses pay no corporate taxes at all. We are not proposing any change to that. That 3% of companies that do pay the corporate tax rate in Florida are the wealthiest corporations that exist in this state. And under the Trump tax realignment, that 3% of corporations walked away with $6.3 billion. Continuing, $6.3 billion. So what we've said is that they can keep $5.3 billion. We just want a billion of that to come into this state's education system so that we can train their future workforce. It is, in my opinion, a win-win. Florida cannot be a leading economy when we are ranked 40th out of 50th in public education.
So you
cannot be a leading economy in that way.
So your tax plan is really just 2.5, you said?
2.5 points. That's exactly right.
2.5%. That's different from the 40% that I'm hearing people mutter about. So 2.5%, and that's on the larger corporations.
It's only three. A lot of people assume that every business in the state pays the corporate tax rate. They don't. Florida does not assess corporate taxes on LLCs or S-Corps. The overwhelming majority of businesses and almost all small businesses in the state are organized as S-Corps or LLCs, and they don't pay corporate taxes at all. We're talking about multilateral and multinational corporations. Again, these are the wealthiest companies in the state, and only 3% of companies in the state pay the corporate tax rate. And even under our tax plan, they will pay less under a Gillum administration than they have paid under 8 years of a Scott administration. So these are scare tactics intended to make people think that we're just completely out of line and out of step with where the people are. Well, look, everyday people in our state are already paying their fair share. They're paying it in the sales tax. They're contributing through consumption taxes. And all we're saying is that if we're going to be able to have the revenue we need to build the future economy of this state, we have got to invest in public education, because too many companies are deciding that they can't locate in the state of Florida because Florida cannot produce the educated talent that they need to fill the jobs that they can create. We're the third largest state in America. That should not be our problem. Under a Gillum administration, we're going to ensure that that is not our problem.
So when you come down to Southwest Florida, you're going to hear a lot about the environment. A lot of the concerns that we have in this part of the state are beyond the scope of one state government and what they can do. That we have climate change, sea level rise. But as far as what we allow to enter our waterways, what do you see as the state's role in limiting that?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, we've got to force the Department of Environmental Protection to do their job. We have literally handed over the reins of environmental protection to some of the biggest polluters in the state. They are required to abide by these best practice documents that they submit to the Department of Agriculture. And based off those best practice documents, which don't include timelines around when they're actually going to get to doing that work to reduce the number of nitrates going into groundwater, that they're able to continue to operate some of the biggest polluting operations. But I'll tell you, the issues around our environment are manifold. They're not just what we do with agriculture. Agriculture is a part of it, and we've got to hold those folks responsible for their contributions. But we also have to deal with such rapid growth north of Lake Okeechobee. We've got thousands of miles of impervious surface that's being added that's causing nitrates to flow from our streets and from impervious into groundwater, and then it makes its way into Lake Okeechobee. And when those discharges happen, we get the kind of blue-green algae that we're experiencing now. We know as an impact of global climate change and sea level rise that we're dealing with, you know, more red tide and more frequent red tide than we've ever seen before. So what people ought to know is that when they elect me governor, they're going to have a governor who believes in science. I'm going to assemble the best scientists, the best biologists, the best marine biologists to help us come up with a comprehensive plan to deal with short-term, medium-term, and long-term solutions to dealing with this crisis. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of here overnight. But there are some steps that we can take to help address this issue, reduce the level of nitrates, make sure that we start to capture pollutants on site rather than allowing it to flow downstream. And then obviously dealing with the impact on our estuary. And writ large, we're going to have a much more comprehensive plan around how we do some carbon extraction from the environment. And there are already innovative technologies that are out there that Florida needs to experiment with as a way to help protect our climate from the disastrous impacts of climate change and sea level rise.
One of the things that's been interesting throughout the campaign is how you've straddled the rural versus coastal. Big corporate ag is sort of a bad word out on the coast, but out and around Lake Okeechobee, that's their livelihood. How can a potential governor approach the agricultural industries in order to make a change that's not going to severely impact the people for whom it is their livelihood?
Well, that's true. And part of what I said about make sure we maintain, you know, a new deal for those communities that will be most directly impacted when we purchase up land from Sugar and restore the southern flow of water from Lake O into the Everglades is that those folks need a new deal. How do we train and retrain, making folks ready for this new economy? We don't have a job gap in this country. We have a skills gap. This may be an opportunity in those areas to experiment with the kind of apprenticeship and the kind of skill-based training that we know we need in order to help power the future.
And that could be... And that could also end up being some sort of a pilot for rural communities across the country.
You're on it. That's exactly right. And I know you've got another question, and I'm happy to answer it. But on this point, because it's an important one, of the 67 counties in the state of Florida, 36 of those counties say that they are economically worse off today than they were in 2007. And so we've got to get our hands around how it is that we create inducements and incentives for rural economies, more suburban areas, to continue to grow and benefit from some economic opportunity of this state, so they're not all having to move to urbanized areas in order to get access to work.
I wanted to, before we run out of time, I know you're on a limited time budget because this is, after all, the last stretch. The events that unfolded over the past week have been unnerving, to say the very least. There was a serial bomber. He mentioned you many times in social media before he was apprehended. Then we had a mass shooting at a synagogue by a person alleged to be a neo-Nazi extremist type. What can a politician do to try to not incite these kinds of people from angry words to angry actions?
Yeah, no, it's an important and a very timely question. First of all of our hearts and prayers continue to go out to those families in Pittsburgh who were impacted by that horribly inspired hate shooting, mass killing that snuffed out the lives of so many loved ones. Listen, elected officials and leaders have a responsibility to lead. We have a responsibility to set a more proper discourse in the body politic. The president, frankly, beginning with the president of the United States, who can no longer give cover, who can no longer create a moral equivalency against people who are motivated by hate based off of someone's faith, their religion, or their background, the color of their skin, the language that they may speak. And it is true that he is unfortunately given that kind of cover, which I think has created the environment where people are no longer able to just disagree over policy, disagree over public opinion. Instead, they're taking those disagreements and by extension are now taken to violence as a way to solve political differences. That is unacceptable. That is not the American way. And quite frankly, in my campaign, we tried to talk about the public policy discourse. We tried to ratchet down what could otherwise be very dangerous rhetoric. I call it out when I see it. And it's important that all of us do that in order to return a status quo in this country where people can disagree and disagree passionately without resulting to deadly violence. It's extreme. It's unnecessary. And we have to bring that kind of violence to heel.
All right, Andrew Gillum, I want to tell you again, thank you so much for the time that you took out of your extremely busy schedule to talk with us. Safe travels.
It's my treat. I wish you all well, and I'm looking forward to visiting the region again soon.
That was Tallahassee Mayor and Democratic candidate for Florida Governor Andrew Gillum. We spoke with him on Saturday, October 27th. We have extended an invitation to his Republican opponent, Ron DeSantis, but we have not heard back from his campaign. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll hear John Davis's recent conversation with Nikki Fried. She's the Democratic candidate for Florida Commissioner of Agriculture. She faces Republican Matt Caldwell during next Tuesday's general election. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.